What's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, everybody pile on in the room. If you're listening live on YouTube, I need y'all to hit that like button. I need y'all to hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. So while everybody's piling on in the room, we're going to be doing what we do so y'all don't move a muscle. We will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com. Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step.
We are hemp.clothing. We're changing the culture one cool piece at a time. Our mission at hemp.clothing is to sell custom-made garments to satisfy all walks of life and pursue advancement through creativity and fashion and expression. We're not trying to pursue cool. We simply help you define your own. Hemp.clothing, 1981.
Check out a brand new company called DurexWipes.com. That's a family-owned disinfectant wipe company that offers natural and quality wipes that clean at a professional level. They're shipping out of Minnesota, and they make their products by hand, and they deliver them efficiently. And they're now serving several variations: peppermint oil, lavender oil, lemon oil, eucalyptus wipes, you name it. So order from them at DurexWipes.com. That's DurexWipes.com, and follow them on Instagram at DurexWipes.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I hope you're wearing your KN95 masks everywhere you go to protect you from all the germs in the air. Also, I want to tell you about this hand sanitizer with aloe vera from IWantAMask.com. It smells so amazing. It's not like other hand sanitizers that leaves your hands feeling clammy and disgusting. So definitely get your hand sanitizer with aloe vera from IWantAMask.com. IWantAMask.com is offering free shipping for all orders over $50.
Are you tired of not getting laid and played by women? If so, you need to go to ChooseYourRelationships.com. It's Sharp Game. Over there, you get tips and tricks on how to empower yourself, how to take your game to the next level, and deal with women on your own terms. So don't wait. Go to ChooseYourRelationships.com, and your relationships will never be the same. So go there. That's ChooseYourRelationships.com.
Check out the brand new app called Goddess Talk. Right now, customers, you can purchase Black-owned products, services, order food, make reservations, book appointments, and do so much more. And you businesses out there, when you sign up, you get to keep 100% of your sales, no commission. Customers, join now and shop now. The Goddess Talk app is available right now for Android and Apple. So let's circulate those black dollars and download the Goddess Talk app now. Hey, what's up, family? Are you planning on purchasing a home, a car, or a rental property in the near future? If so, you need to make sure that you have a good, solid credit score. So if you need to fix or repair your credit, you definitely want to check out GSFinancialServicesLLC.com/FCR to get a free copy of your credit report today. Again, go to GSFinancialServicesLLC.com/FCR. Check out LadiesLikePolitics.com. LadiesLikePolitics.com is giving away $100 every week to new subscribers, and it's free to subscribe. A winner will be announced every Sunday from August 9th to August 23rd. Ladies Like Politics is a new blog and a think tank that addresses solutions to the issues that plague Black Americans. Winnings will be distributed via Cash App. So go ahead right now and subscribe to LadiesLikePolitics.com and catch up on all their great stories right now. LadiesLikePolitics.com. Yo, guys, are you looking for a constructive gift for a friend, family member, loved one, or anybody? You need to check out justice.pearlsync.com. Now, that's an FBA-owned company, and they sell beautiful, high-quality sets of notebooks that includes an impressive gift box. So you need to check them out right now at justice.pearlsync.com. That's justice.pearlsync.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's Black population. A small group of Black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You're now listening to the incredible, the legendary, Tariq Nasheed.
A nasty, vile gutter snipe. Right up out the hood.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is JJ getting all this cash?
Yo, we are back. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your host, Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody who's watching me live on YouTube, I need y'all to hit that subscribe button. Everybody hit that subscribe button and everybody hit that thumbs up button. Ladies and gentlemen, hit that thumbs up button if you're listening to me live, because on YouTube, they be unsubscribing people. They do all types of little tricks with my YouTube channel. Last week on my last broadcast I did, they couldn't hear it in certain countries, and we had to do some things with the setting because I used the clip from First 48, and I had to take the clip out so it could be shown in other countries. A lot of my UK family and a lot of the brothers and sisters in Canada said they couldn't see it. So, you know, they do all types of stuff with my page. But we're here. And again, I need everybody to hit that thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button. It's very important to hit that subscribe button because you might have been unsubscribed. But if you're new here, subscribe so you can get the game. How's everybody doing, man? I hope everybody's having a good week so far. I got to thank everybody for getting the Ogun juice pepper spray. That shit is just flying off our shelves at our warehouse. People are getting that thing by the droves. The package deal we had, we sold 2,000 packages. This is not just the pepper spray, the entire packages. We sold the packages, shit, like 2,000 in a little over a week. So people are very excited about it, and people love the product. We try to make everything high class, high quality. We make it competitive, and we exceed what's out there in the market now, and people are loving it. So again, everybody can get their Ogun juice pepper spray to protect themselves out here in these wild, violent streets at ogunjuice.com. You can also get your COVID mask and everything else at ogunjuice.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're focusing on survival tactics out here because it's a very violent environment we live in, and we got to be very clear about what's happening out here in our society. We got to be very clear, and we got to be very clear with what's going on with the dominant society as it relates to us. The title of today's broadcast, we're talking about the return of radical chic. Now, what is that? What is radical chic? Radical chic was a term created in 1970 by a journalist named Tom Wolfe. And this was response to a lot of the white liberals and a lot of white wealthy people and a lot of white celebrities jumping on the Black Power bandwagon. In the late 60s, early 70s, it became the chic end thing to do, to be around Black radicals, to have these parties and have members of the Black Panthers there. That was something that was seen as cool and edgy. It was a real big trend in the early 70s. And that was a way, really, to disarm a lot of the so-called Black militants, to say, hey, we're bringing you into upper-class white society. We're integrating you. That was a way to kind of neutralize a lot of the threats that was going on, to bring a couple of the Black Panthers in and just kind of shower them with praise and almost treat them like museum pieces. Now, some of the Black Panthers and some of the so-called Black radicals, they would get some of these white celebrities and white liberals to invest in a lot of the programs that they had, like the free lunch program. They would get white celebrities to invest in that. That was a good thing. But a lot of it ended up becoming all about interracial sex. You know, that was a good way to neutralize niggas, throw some of that white pussy at them. You know, there was all types of rumors about Jane Fonda and some of those so-called Black radicals. There were a lot of rumors about that. But that was the thing to do, the radical chic. A lot of white folks wanted to say, hey, look at me. I'm walking on the wild side. I know Huey P. Newton. You know, I know Angela Davis. That was the thing, to kind of cosplay by hanging out with these radicals, being a white person. Now, we're having a return of that right now. There's a return of the radical chic. Now, as we see a lot of these protests in the streets right now, the same thing is going on now. Now there's a wave where it's cool to say, hey, I support Black Lives Matter, as opposed to some of the right wingers who are on the Blue Lives Matter bullshit. But again, we got to watch some of these white liberals, because again, a lot of these white liberals, they get into a lot of cosplay. They will do this cosmetic support of so-called Black Lives Matter, but listen to what they're supporting. They're basically just supporting a hashtag. Do they support punishing race soldiers? Do they support reparations? What do they really support? Do they support just walking around taking pictures of you or taking pictures with you, marching and chanting no justice, no peace? Because see, We get into that radical chicism where it becomes trendy and fashionable to walk around yelling slogans. But at the end of the day, there's no power moved. There's no empowerment of Black people. There's no disempowerment of the white supremacist structure. You understand? It gets into this, we're all in this together talk. We feel your pain. We're right out here with you. Talk. And see, we don't need that, because see, let me tell you something. When it comes time for us to start making power moves, these so-called white liberals, they take them Black gloves off, they take off the Black tam and the Black berets, they take that off and they start getting extra lily white again. Like, for example, our brother Paul Howard out there in Atlanta, and again, all my Atlanta people, I talked about this the other day. Paul Howard, he's the DA out there in Fulton County. That brother was the person who put those serious charges on the race soldier who shot the brother at the Wendy's parking lot. Paul Howard put serious charges on that race soldier, and the white supremacists are very mad at him. Now, Paul Howard is up for re-election. The election is going to be going down in a couple of days in Fulton County, Atlanta. All my Atlanta people, y'all need to get out there and support that brother and vote for him. These are the people we need to support. When they're doing what we ask them to do, this is what we're out here in the streets for. We ain't out here to try to be on some kumbaya. We want race soldiers punished, number one, and we want our reparations. But one of the things is race soldiers being punished. When we have Black folks in office who can do that for us, we need to support them. They got some other woman he's running against. A lot of the white liberals are supporting her. They're trying to mammify her. We don't need that. We need this brother back in office so he can keep the drumbeat of those charges going. That's Paul Howard out there in Atlanta. Y'all need to vote for that brother on the 11th, which is in a couple of days. I think they got early voting this weekend. So we got to be on top of the game when it comes to supporting people who's doing what we're asking. So let's not get caught up in the radical chic thing where, hey, look, white people are looking at me now. So now it's time to dance. It's time to perform. It's time to do my poetry that I've been waiting on people to see. See, the white supremacists, they understand black people better than we know ourselves to some degree. They understand that there are a lot of black people out here that just want some attention. They're like, all these niggas just want a little bit of acknowledgement. They just need a little bit of some type of acknowledgement from us. And if we give it to them, they'll start calming down and they'll act right. And a lot of Negroes are like that. That's why niggas be out there at these protests, dancing, twerking, partying, juggling. It becomes Cirque du Soleil out there with these niggas. But then there's some of us out here, we want real empowerment. That's us. That's you listening. Most of you listening. You got a couple of immigrant coons and bed wenches and bed bucks and mammies and sambos who kind of hate listen. You know, they do some hate listening to find things to hate on, but that's to be expected. But most of you, you're all about empowerment. And I want us to get into the mindset and the habit of being empowered, of doing things that's empowering. So many of us, we're so used to losing. If we actually win and start to empower ourselves, that shit will seem abnormal. Especially to a lot of these cosplaying niggas out here who's into the radical chic game. Because, see, there's a lot of Negroes out here that's going along with the radical chic thing. They just want to be empowered enough, or they want to talk black as long as the white people approve of it. See, there's a thing about being really empowered and just doing it because white people seem like they're giving you a green light to do it. See, right now, us, some of the hardcore brothers and sisters who spit this shit all the time, all day, every day, we have the dominant society on our wave. So now that the dominant society is on our wave, notice all the bed wenches and all the mammies, they're trying to blacken it up a little bit now. Family, did y'all see what Oprah, the head mammy in charge? Oprah's out here trying to talk like us, guys. Oprah was out here talking about white privilege and white supremacy the other day. She was tweeting about that, and boy, the white supremacists got mad at her. Oprah was trying to blacken it up. The white supremacists were real mad at Oprah. They were like, how dare you, woman? You're a billionaire. What white privilege? How dare you say something about a white privilege? So now Oprah's trying to ease back over on the black side of town because she understands that all that mammying and buck dancing she was doing for the dominant society, she lost a lot of stock within black society. And white, she knows white society, they're very fickle. They'll drop you at the, they'll leave you alone at the drop of a hat. So now she's worked all these decades to build her brand and she's seeing it going to dust. So now she's trying to ease back over to get into good graces with black folks now. And another thing she did, Oprah has put up a bunch of billboards in Louisville talking about Breonna Taylor. Now, as you guys know, our brother Jason Black, the Black Authority, shout out to that brother. This brother's been putting up billboards all over the country talking about justice, talking about punishing the race soldiers, talking about reparations. This brother's putting up billboards, and now all of a sudden, Oprah's doing the damn same thing. So they're paying attention to what's going on the real grassroots, guys. This is why we have to keep the steady drumbeat going and have them follow our lead. Oh, they're trying to ease back over here, guys. They're trying to ease back over. They're seeing what's going on over here, and they're seeing what's motivating the people, and they're trying to ease back over here. You understand? So let's not fall for the radical chic. Let's not fall for people out here just marching around in the circles for performative art. Let's not be on this thing where we want to invite people to the barbecue just because they talked about non-justice happening. What are they going to do about it? What are they going to do to stop the non-justice? Because, see, we got to understand another part of the game. The white supremacists, they like to come out around us and send people around us so that it will thwart our efforts to do something on our own. This is why they want us to vote so badly. This is why they're trying to get us on that voting treadmill so much, because they don't want us to start saying, hey, if our elected officials don't do what we need them to do, then we are going to handle our own business. See, they don't want us to get to that level because that's where we are now. Because we're not supporting any of these riffraff politicians, we're out here in the streets handling our own business. And guess what? We're getting shit done. Family, we've gotten so much done in just the past couple of months, just being out here in the streets saying, okay, look, since y'all not going to punish these race soldiers, since y'all not trying to get up off these damn funds that you owe us, if you're not going to produce justice, we're going to be out here in the streets making some things happen. And they don't want that to continue. And again, that's why so many white people out here in the streets too. Let's be very clear. A lot of folks are kind of confused. Why are so many white people out here in the streets protesting and talking about Black Lives Matter? Because, see, they don't want to be on that summer jam screen. I've talked about this many times before. A lot of them will engage into the radical chicism because they don't want to get Reginald Denny'd. And I always use the Reginald Denny reference because in the 90s, when we had the LA uprising out here, it was on and popping, and all the non-black people were on the summer jam screen. They were getting pulled out of cars and they were getting that work put on them. And that's been etched into the brains of the dominant society for 30 years. They don't want that to happen again. So the minute we start rising up, all of a sudden, they start blacking it up. Hey, dude, I fucking love Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, dude. Now they start showing their black credentials. I'll bust that Target window for you guys. They're going out there burning shit down themselves. We'll do it for you. We'll go out here and start burning some things up for you. Just don't turn all that anger on us. That's what that's about. Don't turn it on us. Oh, we don't want you to turn. We don't want to get Reginald Denny'd out here in these streets, because in the LA riots, a lot of white people got killed. They don't like to talk about that. I keep mentioning that. Y'all need to study the LA uprising. A lot of white people got killed. They don't want that to happen. I'll fucking burn down Burger King for you, bro. They'll burn down shit that we don't even need burned down. And also what they'll do to neutralize you rising up, black person, because the thing is, when it comes to getting justice, everybody has to be a warrior on their own. You have to be a warrior. Just like in the Haitian Revolution, the army is you. You're the army. You don't wait on some type of group, a militia group to form. No, no, no. You're the group. You're the army. You're the lone wolf. That's the only effective way to protect yourself in a system of non-justice. You have to be that lone wolf warrior, especially in a system of white supremacy when every group will be infiltrated. And family, this is why I've called out certain groups like the Not Fucking Around Coalition. I've called them out and I still call them out because, see, that's controlled opposition. That's controlled opposition when the dominant society says, hey, we can't send out our regular coons to neutralize these Negroes. They're not falling for it. They're not falling for our LGBT coons. We did that in Ferguson. Niggas done figured that out. We'll send some our black quote unquote leaders out there to divert the energy into sexuality. Oh, they're not going for that no more. We can't send the preachers out there. They're not going for that no more. The preachers have sold out for so long, nobody trusts them in young black society. What do we do? Well, they want a radical group. They're talking about uprising. So how about we send our own radical leaders out there so that we don't get any Micah Johnsons or Gavin Longs anymore? See, we don't need that. We don't need another Chris Dorner running around here. So we need to neutralize the next Chris Dorner or Gavin Long or Micah Johnson. Let's send our own militia out here. Because, see, that's what black people want. Black people really want somebody to do the work for them. So let's send out our own militia group. So, bam, all of a sudden, here's Scam Master J talking crazy, running around here. I got guns. We gonna burn this motherfucker down and just talking crazy. And he gets to talk crazy and the feds don't run up on him or nothing. You understand? That's controlled opposition. They send these radical groups out here to do all this tough talk, talking about what they gonna do. And then for the everyday average black person who should be putting in their own work, they sit back and say, okay, well, they're gonna do the work for me. See, that's a con game we can't be out here playing. They played that con game on us guys in 2013 with the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman situation. See, the biggest mistake black people made in the last decade was letting Zimmerman get a pass. We didn't handle the Zimmerman problem. That was a major, major, major mistake in black society. If the Zimmerman problem was handled, we wouldn't have all of this shit we're having right now. See, we thought that because we have a black president, we thought, first of all, that Obama was going to handle the Zimmerman situation. That's why we kind of sat on our hands. A situation like that was so cut and dry. This kid got lynched. We got a black president. We got Eric Holder. We know they're going to do something about it. So we sat back waiting on them to do something. We're like, well, damn. We got a black president. We're going to have to let the system work. And they didn't do anything. And also remember this, because when there were rumblings of an uprising, and truth be told, after that verdict, there were more people uprising about that out here in LA than down in Florida, which was strange. It should have really went down in Florida if it was going to go down anywhere. But you had people, we were out here getting busy. Upset about that verdict. But the thing is, did y'all remember when they had this fake ass militia group out here? These niggas back in 2013, they threw these niggas on camera talking about, yeah, we got a bounty for George Zimmerman. We got a $10,000 bounty for George Zimmerman. Man, we gonna find him. We know where he at. We gonna find him. Y'all remember them niggas? And that way, I knew that was controlled opposition then. These were some agent-ass niggas that they threw out there to talk that dumb shit, talking about they got a bounty on Zimmerman. And that accomplished two things. Number one, it riled up the right-wing white supremacists, which is what they wanted to do. They wanted to rile them up. And number two, it was going to neutralize any black people from rising up because they said, okay, black folks think they have their own militia group out here actively looking for George Zimmerman when them niggas weren't looking for shit. That was controlled opposition. They threw them niggas out there to talk that dumb shit, and you ain't heard or seen from them niggas since. Yeah, some of those dudes from the quote-unquote new Black Panther Party, some of those dudes who were out there, you ain't heard or seen from them niggas since, and they ain't got Zimmerman or done nothing to Zimmerman. Some of y'all might not remember that. Y'all go look that up. Y'all go look that up. So now, they're doing the same thing. When they push these groups out here talking about all this shit we gonna do and look at our guns, but you're not doing anything. See, they want other black folks to look at that and just keep their hands under their feet, just to sit back and just wait on somebody else to put in work for us. And that's what it is. And look, there's some people who get upset because we called out that organization. That's fine. But I'm just using common sense here. We're going to use common sense. When you get this group or this leader, and I'm really focusing on the leader that just pops out of nowhere, talking all types of crazy, talking about what they're going to burn down and talking about Russia and Iran and all these other countries want to help them. And then the feds don't do anything. You better put two and two together. You just put two and two together. And let's be real. A lot of these Negroes defending that bullshit, you deep down, you know that that's a farce. But you want to go along with the farce because you don't want to do anything. You don't want to be that lone wolf. You don't want to have to be that person who takes up arms to defend your family. So you want to be out here showboating and clowning and talking shit, but when the rubber meets the road, you want to sit back and do nothing. You will not defend your fucking family. So you got to be willing to defend your family. And a lot of us think, okay, well, we'll just have our quote unquote militia group do it for us. It's not going to work like that. Based on history, our brother Neely Fuller taught us that. That militia group thing running around here talking about we are a militia group with guns, they did that in the 60s. It didn't work. They had to be more covert than that. If you're running around here telling everybody who you are and this is what we're down with and this is radical chic, and you're going to be infiltrated. It's just that simple. You understand? We got to be smart and tactical about everything that's done. And by the way, Scam Master J, he said something a little slick about me on his Instagram page because, you know, I said that I think that that man is an agent. He said some things and some of his followers were so-called upset. What's interesting about this dude, he has a lot of followers, a lot of entertainers from the 80s and 90s. There was Karen White on his page. He was talking about me and she chimed in. Like, yeah, fuck that, Tariq. Like, Karen White, where the hell you been? And I like Karen White. I'm like, where the fuck has she been? This dude has a bunch of old 80s and 90s R&B singers and rappers. I'm like, okay, all right. Okay. Who's going to talk shit next? The fucking Force MDs? Some people are like, who? Some of y'all don't even remember Karen White. Yeah, Karen White was the shit back in 88. I loved Karen White. She was the shit. But now she's following Scam Master J. So that's probably where her career went. Following the wrong fucking people. No, Karen White ain't white. Beautiful. She was beautiful back in the day. I don't know what she looks like now. Yeah, she did Superwoman. Yeah, she did a bunch of fly shit. She did a bunch of fly stuff back in the day. Shout out. There's a lot of folks. Somebody said there's a lot of trolls in the chat room right now. That's okay. That's okay. We got a lot of trolls in here. Let's make it hot, trolls. Talk about it. Let us know what's on your mind. But like I said, family, we got to be very smart and we got to be very tactful. And we got to be willing to handle our own business. We got to understand the benign neglect policy that's going on. Look, with these race soldiers out here in California, man, they're talking about they got gangs within law enforcement, some straight up Nazi style gangs out here with Nazi tattoos and the whole shebang out here that's terrorizing people. We're going to have to be in a position where we're going to have to handle our own business, lone wolf style. You understand? We're going to have to handle our own business against that. We're not under any obligation to sit around and just be sitting ducks for state-sanctioned white supremacists. Fuck that. And it's time to get, yeah, they're called the executioners. There's a white supremacist gang within law enforcement. I want y'all to look that up, called the Executioners. And guys, You know, they're trying to get us on that voting treadmill. Now, like I said, you vote locally. Like, you go out here and you vote for people like Paul Howard, people who's out here actually punishing the race soldiers. But as far as Biden and Trump, no. Unless they're giving us our tangibles, we're not playing that game. Man, as we know, Trump and Biden, Trump is running around here talking all this shit about what he's done for black folks. He's not done anything. They're just doing I'm white and I say so. It's easy for them to lie. They're like, well, we can just say we did something for these niggas, and who's going to stop us from lying? And the Democrats are just no better. They're just openly dissing black folks. Like when Bill Clinton was dissing Stokely Carmichael a couple of weeks ago at John Lewis's funeral, Biden is out here apologizing now. He did an interview that came out today, and Biden was talking about the Latino community, because what they're trying to do now, they're trying to pander to the Latino community because they understand that black folks aren't fucking with Biden at all. His numbers are incredibly low. So he's just basically openly dissing black folks now. Listen to what Joe Biden said. Listen to this. Hold on.
Yes. And by the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
So this nigga just, this is some racist ass shit. He's just saying this shit so matter-of-factly right now. He said the black African-American community, they're not really that diverse like the Latino community. The Latino community, they got a diverse array of thoughts and attitudes, but the niggas are basically the same. They're just one big nigga. That's all he said. The blacks, they're just one big nigga, so we can just treat them any kind of way. But the Latino community, we can humanize them. Yeah, we can humanize the Latino community. So, family, they had Simone Sanders out here trying to retweet and cape for him. He just, a couple of hours ago, Biden had to clean up that interview. He put up a tweet talking about, earlier today I made some comments about diversity in the African American and Latino communities that I want to clarify. Oh Lord. In no way did I mean to suggest that the African American community is a monolith. Not by identity, not on issues, not at all. Yes, you did, motherfucker. Yes, you did. They're trying to clean up his bullshit. I mean, he got a whole thread of him. He's white-splaining. Throughout my career, I've witnessed the diversity of thought, background, and sentiment within the African-American community. It's this diversity that makes our workplace communities and countries a better place. So now somebody done wrote some shit for his old senile ass. Okay, this is some of his writers now. These are his writers. Somebody done wrote some for his goofy, senile ass. He's losing his mind, and he had these old suspected white supremacists. They don't have no filter, so they can't filter their racism like they used to. This dude basically said the black community, they're just one big nigga. Not like the Latino community. They're very diverse in their thoughts and their attitudes. He said what he meant. And that's okay. We're not rocking with him anyway. We ain't rocking with his ass. We ain't rocking with these so-called liberals. We're not rocking with anybody until they come through with the tangible. Somebody in the chat room said, well, Tariq, who should we vote for? You vote for anybody who's giving foundational black Americans tangibles. That's who you vote for. Now, you got a lot of these politicians trying to do some last-minute moves and a lot of these public figures. Did y'all see where Zoe Saldana, she apologized for playing the Nina Simone role where they had her darken her face and put on a prosthetic nose? So she's feeling the heat, so she's apologizing, saying she never should have played that. See, a lot of people, the bedwinch game is drying up. We're making the streets hot. We're letting folks know you're not going to have the same prosperous career being a bedwench, a mammy, a coon, shitting on black society. We're not going to have that. And again, Oprah's trying to blacken it up now. That Is that a prosecuting attorney out there in New York? She just filed charges against the NRA. They're trying to break the NRA up because the NRA has been engaged in so many illegal activities. But, you know, the NRA is a white supremacist front group. They've always been a suspected white supremacist front group. So I commend them being possibly dismantled. Yeah, that's going to energize a lot of the other right-wing white supremacists. They're going to run around here talking about they're trying to take our guns and all that. That's why we got to be ready, see? This is why we got to be ready. But the thing is, the game is being changed now, and you, us, here on the grassroots, we're dictating the change on a real level. We're not letting the white supremacists create their own grassroots representatives. It's not working. We're getting them up out of the paint. See, we've called out all their tricks. See, they've been using the same tricks for a long time, and now we're calling their tricks out. One of their tricks, again, was to use the LGBT coons. We've called that out. You can't bring them among us and try to shift the focus on everything. We're not going for that. Another tactic they tried to use for so long, the right and the left-wing white supremacists will try to use these immigrant coons on us, and we've called that out. See, when we see folks talking crazy about us and then we start looking at their background and see that Ghanaian flag or that Congolese flag or that Cuban flag, oh, nigga, we see you. You're gonna get the hell up out of here. We're not letting these foreign coons misrepresent us anymore. See, they weren't expecting the FBA identity to pop through and get everybody on code over here. See, that helped get a lot of folks on code. That was very important for us to understand our lineage, which is what our brother Claude Anderson has been trying to instill in us for decades. So now we're looking at our lineage and looking and understanding that, hey, we come from a different lineage group than other people. We are exceptional people, like our brother Claude Anderson would try to tell us all the time. Foundational Black Americans, we are exceptional. We should never be put in the same category as immigrants. And all immigrants are not bad whatsoever, but we're different. We're not in the same category as no damn immigrant. And the white supremacists, they played that game on us, saying that, well, we're all minorities in the struggle. All minorities go through it. All minorities are fighting the same struggle. So you're going to get the same compensation. Immigrants first. Nah. We way different. Number one, we ain't no goddamn immigrants. Foundational Black Americans are the foundation of this nation. That's why we don't use the term African American. See, when you say African American, that will immigrantize you. That's a new word, immigrantize. That will foreignize you. That gives you the connotation of being an immigrant. We're not African American, we're foundational Black Americans. And then a lot of these immigrant coons, they try to play the Jedi mind trick on us by saying, hey man, why y'all wanna sit up here and represent that imperialistic flag and shit? That flag represents murder and rape and imperialism and shit. Why y'all want to represent that flag? Well, nigga, why did y'all suck a dick over at the embassy in Nigeria to get here? Because y'all over there busting your bussy wide open to get a green card to get over here to this imperial flag. See, they play that little game on us. They'll sell their soul to get over here, then tell us that, well, being over here ain't the thing to do. And see, what happens is a lot of these immigrant coons, they come from these countries where they can't stand the revolutionaries in their own country. Let's be clear. A lot of these immigrant coons come from countries where Black folks who talk like us, revolutionary Black folks who talk about bucking the system of white supremacy and being self-sufficient, they kill them niggas. Over in the Caribbean, over in African nations, they will kill these revolutionary niggas. They kill them real quick. They're like, how dare you talk bad about white mommy and white daddy? I can't wait to find me white mommy and white daddy to come get me. How dare you talk bad about them? That's why you go to these countries and they got big fucking white statues of Jesus all over the place. You understand? So when some of them get to come over here, they have the same contempt for us when we start talking real black and start talking about empowerment. Hey, these niggas talking that Hotep shit. Man, fuck all that Hotep shit. Those are foreigners who be talking that stuff. A lot of these niggas from non-foundational black American backgrounds be talking that. You dig? Because see, we, for the most part, foundational black Americans, for the most part, us who ain't on the bedwinch train or the bedbuck train, we ain't trying to get no allies. We don't need no allies. See, white supremacist society, they understand the ally game. If we just get around Negroes and acknowledge them, you know, that's good enough. We'll pretend to be on their side. I had a white supremacist suspect tweeting me the other day where I was talking about this black male cheerleader they got. He's out there popping his bussy, and I'm like, okay, I got to get this buck-breaking movie going. And the movie Buck Breaking, as you guys know, and it's, I can't wait to get into full production with this movie. This movie is so needed. But the theme of the movie, we're going to be breaking down the historic anti-black racism of the white LGBT community and how they've exploited us for centuries. That's what the theme of that movie is going to be. The movie is really about anti-black racism from the white LGBT community, something that is never touched on. That's like a no-no, but it's going to be a yes-yes for us because we going there. We going all the way there. See, they think, okay, if you start criticizing them, they're going to start trying to label you homophobic. No. That don't scare me. Those little bullshit titles, these I'm white and I say so titles, that don't scare me. We speaking the truth. And history ain't phobic. We going to be out here telling the truth and breaking the history down. We going heavy and hard in the paint on that one. But this suspected white supremacist liberal hopped on my page. Isn't this kind of homophobic? He's a white LGBT dude. I'm like, dude, aren't you kind of anti-black? Fuck out of here. Well, listen, Tariq, you know, bigotry is bigotry. You know, a lot of homophobia in the black community is just as bad as white supremacy. And I follow you. I follow you because you call out white supremacy. And listen, white listeners, let me be very clear. And I know there's a lot of white listeners here listening. Listen. I want y'all to be very clear. I could give less than a damn if anybody in the dominant society listens to me or follows me. I don't want an ally. I do not care to be your buddy. I don't care to be up here cockeying and kikiing with you. I'm not in this game for any type of acceptance from anybody in the dominant society. I want to be very clear on that. And to the coons out there, that's why a lot of you coons out there, your tactics against me are non-effective because I'm not trying to get accepted by white mommy and white daddy. And your coon tactics only work if you can tell white mommy and white daddy to reprimand a black person who you don't like. They can't really reprimand me because I don't do anything that makes me dependent upon them. So let's be very clear. I'm not in the acceptance game. I don't care about y'all accepting me or not. That's the last thing I give a shit about. And that's why they're so desperate to try to be cool with me. And I tell people from the dominant society this all the time, and I want white people to know this too. Unless you are helping me produce justice by replacing the system of white supremacy with the system of justice, we're not cool at all. Unless you are helping me with compensatory justice to help black people, we're not cool. I'm not cool with none of you. I don't want to be cool with none of you. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be your bud. I don't want to sit around drinking and smoking with you. The only thing I want you to do is help produce justice. We are in a global state of emergency. I'm not here to sit up watching Twilight with you. I'm not here to watch Spider-Man and all the bullshit ass comic shows, whatever y'all do with nigga nerds. I don't know what y'all do. I'm not here to cosplay with you. I'm here to produce justice. I need people in the dominant society. If you rolling with me, you better be out here helping me produce some fucking justice. It's that simple. The only people who are my buds are the people who's helping produce justice or helping to produce some compensatory tangibles for black people. If you are helping to get black folks some tangibles, then we can sit down and we can be cool. I can drink a Sprite with you. If you're helping getting some tangibles, we can roll. That's where it is. See, this is why we got to watch the Tim Wises and the Jane Elliotts and all these people. Because, see, Jane Elliott, and I talked about this the other day, they'll talk about racism and white supremacy, but when it comes time to compensate black folks, all of a sudden they start twiddling their thumbs. Well, or the Native Americans should get something first. They start talking dumb. And a lot of black folks out here are acting confused about tangibles and reparations. Let's be very clear. Because people, when it comes to us getting tangibles, everybody wants to act confused. People want to start acting real confused. So when we talk about tangibles or reparations, what should we get? What should we be talking about? What is reparations? What are tangibles? Well, we can just start with four things. We can start with four simple things. We can start with four simple things when it comes to talking about what black Americans, and I'm talking about foundational black Americans, we can talk about the main four things. By the way, guys, hit that thumbs up button if you're listening on YouTube right now. I need y'all to hit the thumbs up button, and I need you to hit that subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up button and hit the subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. But guys, the first thing what we need to be talking about when it comes to reparations and tangibles, what's reparations? Cash payments. We make it real simple. It's not rocket science. Cash payments. Just like Native Americans get cash payments. Some of them play dumb and act like they don't. No, they don't. They do. They get a bag. They get cash payments. We get cash payments. Now, how much money we're talking about? We can start off with $20 trillion. $20 trillion. There's what, 400? No, not 400. There's 40 million foundational black Americans, roughly. And these are rough numbers. So we start off with $20 trillion. The country has it. They had it for COVID. They came up with trillions of dollars for COVID relief. So they got $20 trillion from that slave-descended wealth. They got it. They got it. So let's start off with $20 trillion. That's the number we're working with. We got 40 million foundational black Americans, give or take. What's that, around 500,000 per foundational black American? That's a good number to start. That's a good number to start. We can start there. $500,000 per foundational black American. We can break those payments down. $8,000, a little bit over $8,000 a month for 5 years. That's very doable to all the descendants and all the foundational black Americans in the country. $8,000 a month for 5 years. A little over $8,000, that'll run into around $500,000 total. So we can start there. $500,000. We can start there. $500,000, that will work. Family, we get $8,000 a month. We're good. Do you know how much stuff we can get done with $8,000 a month extra? Now, we're starting there. Let's talk numbers. Let's give some real numbers out. That's 40 acres and a mule type of numbers right there. Now, some people, the white supremacists and the coons, will say, oh my God, that's unrealistic, dude. It's very realistic. That's very realistic. We got that kind of money. It was realistic when y'all were enslaving and beating and brutalizing our family. See, when it comes to compensating us for the brutalization that was done, all of a sudden they want to say certain things aren't realistic. That's very realistic. They came up with all types of realistic ways to punish our people. Oh, they came up with all types of different ways of torture. I mean, they just sat up thinking about all types of shit in different ways they could put spikes on black folks' necks, cut their feet off, tie them up, put them in boxes, sew their mouths together. Oh, they came up with all types of creative ways for centuries after centuries just to punish us and brutalize us and to break us. They came up with so many ways to do it, and we're still standing. We're still standing, but the fact that we were brutalized so much give us that same energy when it comes to compensating us for the brutalization. Because y'all didn't need no help to come up with ways to punish us and dehumanize us. And doing all these experiments on us. The whole medical field as we know it was based on the experiments they were doing on black people during slavery. Modern gynecology was based on the experiments they were doing to black slave women. They were doing all types of vile things to these sisters, learning gynecology, the modern gynecology, using these tools that they use now. Oh man, the pain and suffering that we've endured is unimaginable. The dentistry industry. And we talked about this in Hidden Colors, how they would snatch the teeth out of slaves' mouths and use them as dentures for slave masters. That's what they did with George Washington. That whole lie about he had wooden teeth. No, the fuck he didn't. See, that's a cute, sanitized version of George Washington. George Washington snatched the teeth out of his slaves and made dentures out of them. See, that's a more brutal reality. They have to cuten that story up a little bit. Without sedation. Oh my God, yeah, without sedation. Go get the book Medical Apartheid, man. It breaks all this stuff down. They were doing all types of vile experiments on us during slavery, man. That's just unimaginable. Down there in New Orleans, Madame Lalaurie was out here doing sex changes on black people, tying them up and cutting off their genitals and sewing them back on the women. They were doing all types of stuff on us, dude. Yeah, that 500 grand, that'll be a good start. 500 grand a person. 500 grand a person. Some people say, well, that's a lot of money. Guess what else is a lot of money, guys? And all the white supremacists who's listening, guess what else is a lot of money? All these militarized police officers out here that you're paying all of these billions of dollars to. See, those bills run up into the billions, keeping these race soldiers out here and all these military vehicles. See, you're going to pay one way or another. Now, you can do the right thing and produce justice and pay us what we're owed, or you can just keep paying for military protection, which that money's going to run out. Just dumping that money into a military subjugation system, that shit runs out after a while. You dig? So we can do it the easy way or the hard way. Now, the second thing that we can do in the form of reparations, we can have black-owned casinos and other revenue-generating outlets. Those casinos are very important because they're tax-free and they get to generate millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars annually. Possibly billions, but those casinos make big money. We need black-owned casinos just like that, that we own, that we can employ our people, and that it can have tax-free money running through. We need the same thing. That's why I keep saying, just like y'all do for the Native Americans, because it's not unrealistic for the Native Americans. It shouldn't be unrealistic for us. You see? Another thing we need those land grants / reservations, just like Native Americans. They try to downplay those reservations like, oh my God, well, look at how the people are living on those reservations. That's them. That's on them. You give us free, tax-free land that we're supposed to get, the 40 acres. See, that's part of the 40 acres and a mule deal. Let's get them 40 goddamn acres. Let's get them 40 acres. Also, in addition to the money, let's get that 40 acres and let us do what we need to do on our own land. That's fine. If a motherfucker want to get drunk, smoke crack on, that's let him do him. I'm not going to do that on my land. And if some of you coons say, that's just like welfare, well, nigga, give me your land then. man, that's taking a handout. Well, nigga, give me yours and go take your ass over there with white mommy and white daddy and do what you do, nigga. Give me yours so I can flip it. Yeah? Same thing the Native Americans get, because let's be very clear. The Native Americans, they did not do anything to build up the government of the United States. They didn't do anything to build up this country. Some of those so-called five civilized tribes, they didn't do anything to build up the structure of this country. They didn't. Brother Claude Anderson was breaking that down a long time. We did all of that. Foundational Black Americans did all the hard work and the heavy lifting that needed to be done to get this thing popping. Now, the fourth thing, number four, we need to get access to all the other types of grants that Native Americans have access to. That's why I keep using Native Americans. Dude, if you go look at some of the grant programs on the government websites, almost every single grant that's out there, Native Americans get first dibs on them. Everybody else, in order to get access to any type of grant from the government, you have to have a 501c3 corporation. You got to have a nonprofit corporation. You got to go through the legal ordeal to get a corporation that's a nonprofit. You got to go through the whole thing to get that. But if you are part of a Native American tribe, that shit is automatic. You automatically get grant money. Just off rip. No paperwork, nothing. You just get it. You get first dibs at it. We need that too. We need that. That's what we need too. So these are the things we can present to people. Whether they like it or not, who gives a fuck? Y'all don't like anything we do. But this is what we need. Let's put some real numbers out there. $500K per person. Starting off. That's for starters. $500K per person, that's for starters. Fuck a free education. When they start talking that, well, free education, some minority, no, we ain't doing the minority grants. We've done that con game before. Y'all, that we ain't doing people of color. We're not doing any of that. We're not getting lumped in with any other group. And another, they like doing the Native American thing so much because they understand this. See, the name of the game is always to find a way to finesse money from black folks so that white people can get it. That's what affirmative action was. That was a finesse. When they said, we're going to start giving affirmative action to people who've been disenfranchised because of race and other minority setbacks, they started at the same time allowing white women to be classified as minorities. Before the 1960s, white women were not considered minorities, but they figured out that's a way to funnel money back into white society. This is why they keep talking about if blacks get reparations, Native Americans should get reparations. When they say Native Americans, let's be very clear. They're talking about them $5 ass Indians who ain't really Native Americans. They understand that white people be running the Indian con. So that's their way of trying to get white people to siphon off a lot of the damn money. So that's why we got to shut that shit down. We got to shut it down. And let's not be afraid to say this is the number we're looking at. $500K per person. Well, but listen, I'm a nigga from the Congo. I sympathize with black. Sit down, Mbutu. You can't get a check, brother. Sit down. Mbutu can't get a check. I'm sorry. Mbutu cannot get a check. Hey, brother, I'm from Jamaica. We went through slavery too. Brother, Trenton, you need to go holler at the British government for your check. You can't get a check either, brother. See, that's going to shut down a lot of those conversations when people try to play dumb. Well, what about Caribbeans? What about Africans? They don't get no check over here. They don't get it. You don't get a check because you weren't enslaved over. Your family wasn't enslaved over here. No, you don't get a, you know, you don't. You don't get a check. Look, over there, CARICOM, when they're trying to get the reparations from the British government and France and all that, they don't include us. Black folks are not included in CARICOM. Foundational Black Americans, that's what I mean. FBA, they do not include us in the CARICOM conversations. That's okay. and you ain't in our reparations conversation. So don't cry foul. We still cool, but we're just talking about our lineage and what's owed. And we gotta talk about it so that it can make sense. And getting these foreign coons to try to talk for us, like Candace Owens, whose family, half her family, she says, is from here, but I doubt that. But I know she considers herself Caribbean because her family's from St. Thomas. Most of her family's from St. Thomas. So they have to go through the Dutch and other governments that had them enslaved over there. The U.S. acquired those islands relatively recently. You understand? So we've been the ones, our families that have been disenfranchised through enslavement, the black codes, lynching, redlining, and all types of other systematic forms of deprivation. So we're going to have to be compensated for that. You understand? And we got to stop being afraid to let them know what the business is going to be. Let's not be afraid to let them know what we want and what we're going to get. And we're not participating in any type of voting for no president or none of these people unless we're getting some of that $500K per person that we're supposed to get. We don't give a shit if the white people get mad. We don't want hugs. They're throwing every trick out there. They're trying to bedwinch the game up, bedbuck the game up. Nah, I don't want no hugs. I don't want no kisses. I don't want to go skating with you. I don't want to be best buds with you. Just let's get that check going. Let's get these resources going so we can clear up this whole economic disparity thing. See, that's the only way to clear it up, by compensating us and giving us what we're owed. It's just that simple. And if you don't want to do it, well, we won't participate in the electoral process. We'll let that shit burn to the ground, and we'll just have to come up with our own ways outside of the system to do what we need to do to produce justice. And see, that's the thing they're worried about. They're worried about, okay, when these niggas start doing things on their own, that's going to be a problem. So, y'all, the white supremacists, y'all got a lot of thinking to do. Are you going to waste money on all of these military vehicles, helicopters, and all this dumb shit? Are you going to do the right thing? Y'all make a choice and do the right thing. Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and the movie 1804. Again, shout out to everybody who got the Ogun Juice package. And you guys can get the Ogun Juice Pepper Spray, the hottest selling item on the streets right now. That Ogun Juice is not a joke right now. It is much needed, because we see these crazy Kens and Karens running up on black folks. You better stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. Go to OgunJuice.com, ladies and gentlemen. OgunJuice.com, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I'm out of here. I'll holler at you guys Sunday. Y'all be good.